In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
To the American Adversaries Radio Show, our Sunday evening three-hour tour back after a week off. Hope you enjoyed your Labor Day weekend, and I enjoyed mine. It was productive, but still managed to get rested up a little bit and get ready for the run to the election in November. All right, that's right, folks. We're here. We're live tonight until 8 o'clock, coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios. And, of course, you're probably listening to us maybe on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. The Rays did play today, but they took care of business in fine fashion, as they did all during the weekend against the lowly Baltimore Orioles. The Rays did what they're supposed to do to bad baseball teams. They whooped them. And so congratulations to the Rays. Now I think about 11-game home streak, longest in history, tied the longest in history. Can that be so? Well, maybe they'll break that thing tomorrow. I think they're playing Cleveland. Anyway, the baseball game is over, so we're up on the big stick, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Of course, you can always listen to us, whether the Rays are playing or not, at AM660TheAnswer.com or on your smart device because you've downloaded the free Answer Orlando app. And, of course, you can always listen to us on your Alexa devices, or if you're on the computer and you'd rather just go to our website and hit the Listen Live button, you can do that, too. Brand new website. We really love it. I hope you do, too. I hope you had a chance to check it out over the weekend. I know we got a few more entrants into our drawing. For all you have to do is go there and check out our website and enter the drawing. Yes, we're trying to lure you to the website. That's the idea. But, of course, you have a chance to win a great prize package, which we're going to announce later in the week. So you still have a couple of weeks to do that, but don't delay. And please go visit our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. I had anticipated having us up on the Titan Cave Cam on Facebook, but Firefox, which is the platform that we use to do all this mess with, has made some changes, and I can't figure them out. I got to admit, I am computer illiterate, pretty much, and Nick had this thing set up where everything was nice and easy, and all I had to do was push this button at that point and that button at this point, and them buttons don't work like that no more. So I'll have to get with him tomorrow, and we are going to get a system upgrade, which is going to make it a whole lot easier for me and a whole lot better for you, because we won't get that pixelation and fading in and out and the mess with the audio and all that stuff will go away. But in the meantime, it looks like we will evidently not have the Titan Cave Cam tonight. I apologize for that. But in the meantime, you do have me, the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, the number 407-774-8255. Aubrey could not make it in tonight. He's working, actually, but he promised to join us tomorrow night. But we do have the divas lined up for tonight. Kathy Santomassino will join us at 6, and Sunny, the California gorgeous lady of wrestling, will join us at 7. So once again, we got a lot going on here tonight until 8 o'clock. And then, of course, you got even more live radio with Mark Walters and Armed American Radio going live until 11 o'clock. So please take advantage of it as much as possible. And if you just had enough radio after us and maybe an hour or so of Mark Walters, you might want to flip on Fox News Channel. And for Mark Levin's show, tonight he has on there featuring, and it does the whole hour with one guest. It's sort of William F. Buckley style, where they just sit there, two chairs, talking with each other. And he's going to have on there, oh gosh, now his name has slipped my mind. I'll come up with it here in just a minute. But and nonetheless, it's going to be a great show, and we got all lined up for you here tonight. So the NFL has kicked off their season, and it started actually Thursday night, and the ratings were down significantly. The president took note of that, as a matter of fact, today, and he tweeted, he tweeted something out about it, and let me see if I can pull it up here. Let's see. Wow, I'm reading now from the president's tweet. Wow. NFL first game ratings are way down over an already really bad last year comparison. Viewership declined 13%, the lowest in over a decade. If the players stood proudly for our flag and anthem, and it is all shown on broadcast, maybe ratings could come back? Question mark. Otherwise, worse! Exclamation point. And of course, I liked it and retweeted it out there. And it is the point well made by the president, and the networks in the NFL have colluded. They have conspired to not show the national anthem on television, but people still know what's going on. And then, of course, you had this business with Nike kicking off simultaneously with that Thursday night broadcast. Now, that is the Thursday night broadcast. We don't know the ratings for today. Today is the first Sunday of the NFL season when all the rest of the teams, besides the Eagles and the Falcons, who played the other night, and the Birds played against the Birds, and the Eagles beat the Falcons. And Nike, of course, kicked off their social engineering campaign with the Colin Kaepernick 2-minute-long infomercial. It wasn't so much a commercial as it was an infomercial. And it's all about public relations and marketing. Make no mistake about that. And Nike is, just like the NFL, taking a big risk going down this road. Now, as far as Nike goes, they did take a hit in the stock market, but their sales jumped. Yeah, they had great sales over the next few days, probably over through this weekend, don't know. But there are a lot of actually, you know, people out there that believe in that nonsense that they got to wear shoes too. The problem is that you're narrowing your market, and you got to wonder how long that bump is going to last. Is it sort of a sugar high, or is it something that's going to sustain the corporation over the long term? And certainly the tennis shoe or athletic shoe, I guess is the way they like to call it now, the athletic shoe market is a very, very competitive market. And it's kind of like Coke and Pepsi, where they've sort of already staked out their ground and just kind of try to hold on to their own turf and make inroads into the other guy's turf. And it's very difficult to do that. Shoes are kind of like, well, soda. You have that flavor or that feel that you like, and you tend to want to go back for more of the same. And so, once again, it is a risk by Nike that they're losing old, potentially losing old loyal customers for the prospect of new loyal customers. And I don't know, if I was in the boardroom, I do believe I'd be a little bit nervous about that. And of course, if I was an NFL owner, I'd be a little bit nervous about those ratings as well. And because that will probably translate into ticket sales and merchandise sales as well. One thing, as we have noted on the show, that the NFL has going for it this year that they did not have going for it in past seasons is legalized gambling, which might bring more attention to the games. But it certainly didn't seem that way on Thursday night. I don't know. Maybe there just wasn't much gambling action on that game. I don't do that sort of thing, so I wouldn't know. But nonetheless, We will see how this played out. As I said, you know, you had people who have been Nike buyers who have Nike equipment and setting it on fire and doing various ways to destroy it and showing it on the social media. You know, once again, if I'm in the boardroom, I kind of wince when I see that being done to my product because of something that we have decided in the boardroom itself. But that is where we're at in our nation today. The liberals are losing in the political realm, but that's not going to stop them from their efforts in other realms, the legal realm and the cultural realm. And so they take their battle to all places. You know, they've controlled Hollywood for a long time. And so this is just an extension of all of that, using the entertainment media along with the news media to control all the media and hopefully in their mind control pretty much all thought, because most of our thought is crafted from what we watch and participate in on in our choices of entertainment and things. So it's a situation where, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this, but it is sort of disappointing that liberal culture has made its way now into pretty much all aspects of our life. You cannot turn on television to watch any kind of any form of entertainment without the liberal politics polluting it. And so, that's why we're here, and that's why other conservative outlets are out there to provide some sort of balance to that. But we're not providing you with entertainment free of the infection itself. I mean, we're simply here trying to deal with it as a mad scientist might, you know, deal with some sort of epidemic or problem of that nature. It's where we're at in this political world. And so it's, you know, we have a lot to say in this, though, because we do still have the right to vote, and elections do make a difference. I think that everyone would agree to this simple proposition, and that is that elections do make a difference. Now, a lot of us are happy with the difference that has been made by this last election. A lot of people are very unhappy about it. And that's just the reverse of when President Obama was president. But what we have now is a situation where we have a whole generation of people who aren't used to losing because they've never really had to lose in their life. They've always, you know, it's been the everybody gets a trophy generation. And if you've never really lost and a bitter loss, I mean, one that really hurts, you don't know how to do it. You just can't cope with it. I know when I was a kid, you know, I was very competitive in sports and things, and we had some pretty bitter losses. And I tell you what, they hurt, and it was hard to deal with, but it was a learning experience that everyone needs to go through. Because you're going to have to face these things in life. But what we have now is a generation that has not learned how to deal with a loss. And so they're throwing a magnificent and well-orchestrated and temper tantrums is in essence what we are seeing. You know, you saw an example of it this past week in those Senate confirmation hearings for Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And this is the result of our educational system and the infection of liberal cultural ideas into how we raise children without a balance. They've for a long time, at least we had the conservative balance there. But that conservative balance in how we're educating our children is for the most part gone. And with that gone, what we are getting is, as I said, a generation of people who cannot and who are goaded on for political gain by their elders, who are not capable of dealing in a war, dealing with a world in which they don't get what they want or what everybody else gets. This is why socialism is also very popular amongst our young right now. It's this Me Too generation. This generation that, why didn't I get a trophy? Everybody should get a trophy. Well, under socialism, everybody does get a trophy, you see. But see, we don't have a socialist system. And so these people who are trained in socialism don't like it. And it's very logical and reasonable to understand. That doesn't make it any better. But once again, we hold the key with elections. And as in the marketplace, we hold the key now with Nike. Now, I've never been a Nike person myself. If I choose a pair of athletic shoes to wear, I usually go Reebok. But I tell you what, I've learned to get and be very happy with the $16 pair of shoes of Kirkland's whatever or Fila or whatever they're selling down there at Costco. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing the Kirkland's right now. So $16. Hey, what the hey? And so if I was a professional athlete, it'd be different. But I'm not. And guess what? The vast majority of people are not. So, you know, we still have a say in this whole thing. So, you know, before we go complaining and doing all that, we better do everything that we can do to make sure that our voices, our perspective is taken into consideration. And elections are the primary way of doing that. And, of course, we're now just a little over 8 weeks away from Election Day, which means we're only about, I don't know, 5-6 weeks away from when mail-out ballots start going out to military personnel, and then you'll be able to get your absentee ballot in a couple of weeks after that, and then early voting, and then wham, there we are. So, you know, whatever you can do to help some of these candidates, please do it. And the main thing, of course, is make sure you get out and vote and encourage others to do the same thing. All right, I'll take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about some deep state stuff.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number. And
all right, John Voight. How could I forget John Voight's name? John Voight is going to be on Mark Levin tonight. And it looks to, from the previews that I've seen, it looks to be an excellent interview. So you may want to tune that in. I think it's either 9 or 10 o'clock on Fox News. All right, so today on Georgie Porgy's show on ABC, he interviewed George Papadopoulos from one Greek to another. And George Papadopoulos, of course, was just sentenced Friday to 14 days. That's right, 14 days, 2 weeks in jail. They say prison, but they don't send you to prison for 14 days. They put you in a county jail. And maybe in with the federal prisoners, but it'll be in a county jail. I guarantee you that. But anyway, he'll still get processed and be locked up for the 14 days. Fined a whole $10,000, which is nothing to him, and a year's probation, and which is not much of a sentence at all for what we were promised was going to be a big deal. What was interesting is some of the things that he revealed to George Stephanopoulos. First of all, he said that to his knowledge, he was never in contact with Russian officials or Russian agents, members of the Russian government. His account of the meeting in London, where he was over there with this encouragement of Mifsud, this guy named Mifsud, he doesn't corroborate their others' accounts. According to him, it was not an effort to set up some sort of Russia collusion. He did not tell them, or was not in possession of Hillary Clinton's emails, did not know of anyone who had Hillary Clinton's emails. Basically, there was not much at all to it. He did say, however, that, and this contradicts what Jeff Sessions evidently said during, I believe, his confirmation hearings or when he recused himself, and that was that he was trying to set up a meeting between Vladimir Putin and President Trump or some high-level campaign officials. And he kept trying. The campaign was kind of, maybe not. He said he talked to Corey Lewandowski, and he could never get a straight answer from Lewandowski. And then when Manafort came in, Lewandowski was fired, if you remember, and Trump hired Manafort to replace him. When Manafort came in, Manafort finally gave him a definitive answer as to whether or not he should seek or continue his efforts to set up a meeting between Putin and Trump. And Manafort's answer was no. Don't do it. And that was the end of it. According to Papadopoulos, he finally got an answer. And it was no. And he had never gotten the answer yes. It was always maybe, we'll take a look at it and see what you can do, but we're not committing, that sort of thing. And but finally, when Manafort came on the team, he's the one who said no. Which is ironic because he is the one who's being made out to be the worst of these criminals. As Papadopoulos himself said, he sits in jail tonight. And from most reports, he sits in solitary confinement. And believe you me, that's not where you want to be. And he is made out to be the worst of the worst, and it looks like he's the one who nixed this whole idea of any kind of notion of meeting in any way whatsoever with the Russians. And by the way, this wasn't supposed to be a secret meeting or something like that. This was going to be a high-profile meeting between a presidential candidate and a foreign leader. Unusual? Yeah. Has it been done before? Well, if I remember, a high-profile candidate by the name of Barack Obama, didn't he go over to Germany before he was elected and give a big old speech, and wasn't he welcomed and everything? Something like that. Maybe I'm getting my timeline mixed up here. I'll have to double check. But but nonetheless, it did not happen. Manafort was evidently smart enough to say, no, that's probably from a political standpoint, no, that's probably more trouble than it's worth. And by the way, Manafort had worked in around other politicians on both sides of the political aisle. So he did know a little bit about his way around. And if there was anybody, he was also in that meeting, if you remember, at the Trump Tower. And he was totally uninterested and basically was there just to go through the motions. And everybody agreed. He wasn't even paying attention because he knew better. He just, you know, this was something Don Jr. wanted to do, so he let him do it. And we now see that even that was a mistake, even though nothing came of it. All right, you are listening to the came of it. All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries on a Sunday evening, 3-hour classic tour, and we're going to be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Naval Station Norfolk says its employees should not leave their vehicles parked at the sprawling Virginia base in coming days because of the possibility of flooding from the approaching Hurricane Florence. The station, the largest naval complex in the world, said in a Facebook post that much of the base is prone to heavy flooding, especially the parking lots adjacent to the waterfront. A tower that honors the passengers and the crew killed when a hijacked plane was crashed into a rural Pennsylvania field, now in place, the final major feature of a 2,200-acre memorial. The Tower of Voices was dedicated Sunday with remarks from former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge. The 93-foot structure is designed with a wind chime for each of the 40 who died on September 11, 2001. Nearly 3,000 people died in the attack, which also targeted the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. This is SRN News.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
This is former professional wrestler Roxy Astor. I love to wrestle, especially when it comes to politics. For the best in political professional wrestling, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer, WORL. I'd go to the mat with these guys any day.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got us here live on a Sunday night for our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. And because we are live, we invite you to call us right here at the Relax and Comfort Studio. That's 407-774-8255. I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And, you know, we're starting into year 9 tonight. Jeff, you know that?
Oh, yeah. Got me on that one.
Yeah, we started Labor Day weekend 8 years ago. That would have been September 5th, Labor Day weekend 8 years ago. And that's Sunday night. And here we are still doing it and going into year 9. So, and Jeff's been there the whole way on Sunday nights.
That's right.
And, of course, on weekends or weekdays, too. All right. So, once again, thanks for being out there. And I know many, many of you have been out there with us a long, long time. And by the way, I did find out some sad news about one of our listeners who had been out there with us a long, long time. Of course, we know we've lost Tim Nichols this past year. But about coming up, I think about a year ago, we lost Warren. I don't know if you remember, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, I know you remember Warren. And Warren was always jovial, and he was a loyal listener, a very smart man. And I found out the sad news recently, and I'd been wondering, you know, and so I thought I would pass that on and just let you know. But we appreciate the fact that you folks do spend time with us, because time is our most precious commodity. There is no question about it. Speaking of that sort of thing, and I don't want to mean to use this as a transition, but we were just talking about Papadopoulos, and he was on this morning on the ABC show, and he had his wife with him. And they also dispelled the rumor that his wife is a beautiful Russian spy. She is a quite attractive woman with blonde hair, long blonde hair, and she speaks with a thick accent. But according to Papadopoulos, I believe he said she's Italian, but she is not Russian. He says, as he puts it, Italians can have blonde hair, too. So I'm sure that's very true. He really did burst some bubbles this morning. And I don't know if Stephanopoulos really realized it. But Stephanopoulos later on in the roundtable revealed something that I thought was pretty astounding, too. And that is that this Mifsud guy, who was right in the middle of setting all of this up and arranging this meeting with Papadopoulos and over there in London with supposedly some Russian contacts, and you had the Operation Crossfire Hurricane going on. With this, with the FBI undercover Cambridge professor dude there, Halpern, his name is so close to our CIA director, I know it's something like that. This guy Mifsud, now people, and he had disappeared, and nobody really knew where he went. Well, now people think he's dead. The guy right in the middle of all this has disappeared, and now people think he is dead. I thought that was some pretty astounding news myself. Maybe that's just me, but a guy right in the middle of all of this attempt to set up the Trump campaign, which is really what this was all about. They were using Papadopoulos to set up the Trump campaign. One of the guys that was the orchestrator, the conductor of bringing all this together, is now evidently dead after having gone missing. That doesn't sound right. Well, maybe it sounds right in one sense, but certainly doesn't sound good. It sounds right in one sense that the deep state would probably do anything, literally, to cover its tracks. I gotta wonder, just gotta wonder. You know, we do live in a world of real deal things where people get killed over a lot less than this. you know, but anyway, that so this interview this morning was, I thought, a confirmation of a lot of things that President Trump has been saying primarily, but a lot of things that we've been saying, and Hannity and Limbaugh and others, about all of this stuff, that Papadopoulos did not corroborate the accounts of the insiders who were trying to orchestrate all of this. He did not corroborate that. He also said he, to his knowledge, never met with any senior Russian officials. And revealed that it is Manafort who nixed the whole idea anyway, even though he could never, and he never got close to Trump, and he couldn't get close to an answer until Manafort finally gave him the answer of, no, we don't want to meet with Vladimir Putin. So it's, and then Mifsud dead, And this is on, you know, the heels of this week of the memo gate, you might want to call it, where we had this New York Times op-ed piece come out by so-called Anonymous, which clearly was meant to sow mistrust and suspicion within the Trump administration. Clearly meant to do so. The deep state would not normally do something like this unless they had a larger goal in mind. And the deep state includes, by the way, high-level people in the media, including the New York Times and the Washington Post, because they're the ones who sanitize the news for the liberals and for the deep state. And we have seen now, and we now know from all of this Papadopoulos and collusion and moolah and all of this stuff, that the media colluded with the deep state in order to get FISA warrants on George Papadopoulos in order to spy on the Trump campaign. This is quite clear that the media was part of the operation. Most of them willingly and knowingly. I'm sure a few, maybe not so, but most of them willingly and knowing what was going on because they pal around with each other. As I said before, this is we call it the swamp euphemistically, but it is a deep cultural incestuous cult that is much different than our own. And they are the elite, and they are, in their opinion, there because they are the elite. and we should be glad that they're there. That was the meaning, the tome of the memo. So this is extraordinary. And by the way, even Barack Obama criticized the memo. However, he didn't criticize it for the same reasons. His criticism was they're not stopping Trump enough, that they actually did let him get some things done, and they should have stopped him entirely. But this is why I think there was some outside, not just senior policy or senior official in the administration, but that you had a media at least guidance, if not the whole cloth creation of this document, because it is meant to, as I said, create suspicion within the Trump administration and to drive a wedge between Trump and all of his high-level officials. And that was the whole point of the book by Bob Woodward, Fear, Trump in the White House. All of this is meant to create the mistrust, suspicion, division, all within the administration itself. Now, Kellyanne Conway was on this morning on NBC with Chucky Boy Todd, and that was pretty entertaining to see her handle him. Because she is one of the few, and there are a few out there, but more Republicans should do this, and that is, you know, tell these liberals that we know what they're doing. It's quite obvious, and we know where their hearts and their feelings are, because they don't like that being pointed out on the show, and especially their own shows. But according to her, this is actually causing the inner circle to become tighter. And Vice President Pence addressed it today, and he was quite adamant in his interviews that, first of all, it wasn't him. And he said he'd take a lie detector test in a heartbeat to prove that it was not him, and that others in the administration would do the same. And pretty much to a person, the high-level people attributed to certain quotes in Woodward's book have all adamantly denied it. Mattis has adamantly denied it. Kelly has adamantly denied it. Anybody that has been quoted in the Trump administration has adamantly denied it. And Chris Christie this morning on the ABC show said the quotes that were attributed to him were not true, and that Bob Woodward made no attempt whatsoever to contact him to find out if they were verified or not, if they were true or not. The sources that Woodward used were the sources that a rookie would use. Now, if I didn't know better, I'd say maybe Woodward is the one who has some sort of stage of dementia, because he was quoting sources that weren't even first-hand, second-hand sources. In other words, he wasn't quoting a person who heard John Kelly say it. He wasn't obviously quoting John Kelly. In other words, he didn't hear John Kelly himself say it, nor did he go to John Kelly and ask John Kelly if he had said it. Did not do that, like he didn't do it with Chris Christie. He didn't even get it from the person who supposedly heard John Kelly say it. He got it from a person who was told by the person who supposedly heard John Kelly say it. Third-hand sources. This is rookie stuff. This is amateurish. This is, I was watching the Andy Griffith Show a few weekends ago, it was the episode where Opie and one of his little buddies started a newspaper, and they put out the first edition, and it was all about news going on in their school and their class and in recess on the playground and stuff, and they couldn't move any newspapers. So, Barney and Andy told them maybe they need to write the news that people want to see. So they got together, and they started looking at a newspaper, and they're going through the newspaper, and they're going, well, my mom doesn't really read that. Nah, my dad doesn't read that. And then again, they settle on the society page where all the rumors and innuendos are printed. They both go, yeah, that's what my dad read. So they go around town and they just sort of listen to adults as they're gossiping, and they print the gossip. Now, of course, it drives Andy and Aunt B and Barney crazy, and they have to go around to collect all the newspapers and hope nobody saw them, and a few people did. It's quite comical, but Woodward didn't even do that. He didn't even do what these kids did. He didn't do, as I said, this is so childish and amateurish and rookie-ish. But it fits the storyline of what they're trying to do, which is undermine this president. And the storyline that they have been working on from day one, I guess you could say, maybe the three C's, you got competence. He's incompetent. He's corrupt. And then what was the other one? Maybe that he's incompetent. He's corrupt. And he has the mind of a fifth or sixth grader and all this business. And this is just more of the same. That's the bad news. The good news is there's not. Where do you go from here? I mean, Bob Woodward is supposedly the ultimate in media credibility. And with this book, he has, just like the rest of the media have done since day one with this president, and at day one when he was first a candidate, they have shot their credibility to hell. This is the problem that they have. And they know it. And I've pointed it out on the show on numerous occasions, and we'll continue to do so. Because instead of trying to get things right, they're doubling down on getting things wrong. And it's not going to work out well for them in the end. This book by Bob Woodward is not going to work out well for him. Oh, he'll sell a few books like Omarosa. But his book is an Omarosa book. Now, you think Bob Woodward would appreciate being compared to, as an author and as a journalist, to Omarosa? Or even Michael Wolff, whose books belong more in the fiction section, and now he's there with them? Not a good move for Woodward. Not a good move for Woodward. And, he complains that he tried to get access to the president. I guarantee you, Bob Woodward, if he wanted access to the president, he would have gotten access to the president. There's no question in my mind about it. And according to Chris Christie, and I believe him, he made no attempt whatsoever to get an interview with him to corroborate the quote that he was going to put in his book from Chris Christie. And Christie said, you know, I'm easy to get a hold of. And even Stephanopoulos said, yeah, he could have called us. We'd have given him your number. This is okay, though, because in the end, Trump is going to be come out of this once again victorious. He is the pinball wizard and Moby Dick all wrapped up into one, and all these Ahabs are killing themselves trying to bring him down. All right, the clock has done rundown on me, so I'll take another break and come back with more of the first hour of our 3-hour classic tour of the American Adversaries radio show.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
The Dancing Queen is back on stage. That, of course, will be Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru himself, touring the countryside. All right, welcome back. He was in Illinois and then on Friday, and then yesterday he was in California, and he toned his message down a little bit for Californians out there. He's out there trying to, first of all, take credit for the economy and the turnaround, the great turnaround the country's been in, and that's laughable. And he's also chiding President Trump for the way he does business, in essence. And speaking of the way he does business, Rand Paul recommended that the senior level staffers, or anyone who wouldn't sign an affidavit that they weren't the memo leaker, the memo author, that they take a lie detector test. And the media made a big deal about, the Trump administration gonna force people to take lie detector tests. Well, if they do so, it would be following a practice that the Obama administration had done. The Obama administration not only forced some of their members to, because if you remember, they had leaks, and every administration has leaks, and everybody hates them unless they're orchestrating them. If they orchestrate them, it's fine. If they're not, it's not. And so Obama was not orchestrating leaks, or at least some of leaks in his administration. He didn't like it, like most presidents don't. And he tried to do something about it, too, only they didn't make a big deal about it. He didn't go out and talk about it in the open like President Trump does. That's one of the nice things about President Trump. Everything is out in the open. You want to talk about transparency? We sure enough got it. But we didn't have it under the Obama administration, although it did eventually come out when reporters were arrested and put in jail by the Obama administration at a rate that had not been done ever before. And he did conduct lie detector tests and forced some staff members who were under suspicion to take the lie detector test. And he also seized their phone and email records between them and reporters and people in the intelligence community. Well, once again, where they thought some of these leaks were coming from. And so this brings me to a point that did come out sort of in a couple of ways this morning. And Lan He Chen was one. And Lan He is a contributor to Town Hall, which is part of the Salem Media Organization. And Lan He was saying what the memo revealed was what goes on all the time. And not only government, but any large organization, you have this sort of thing going on where you have the inner office politics. If you've ever worked in a large office, you know what I'm talking about. That's a inner office politics. And whoever's at the top of the heap, everybody's trying to impress or persuade or whatever. And the people closest to that person sometimes use their persuasion unfairly, but that's the reason why they're in that position in their mind. When I say unfairly, I mean they use their persuasive powers, which are greater than others, to make sure that their point of view is the victorious one. And in other words, what we are being made privy to, what we are being made witness to, is not unusual. The so-called chaos and all this business going on, all the inner office intrigue in and around the White House, is standard operating procedure. And different administrations deal with it in different ways. And one of the ways that Barack Obama dealt with it was by making people take lie detector tests, seizing their phone and email records, and even putting some people in jail. And so the point is that all of this nonsense, all of this noise that we're hearing about how Trump does business and how people are trying to thwart him is human nature. It's human nature. And as such, there will always be, if you want to call it that, a deep state. It's not something that we can root out and expose it and dispose of it, and that's the end of it. Because we're dealing really with human nature. And human nature is not to be changed. Except maybe by the Creator who created us with this nature. And I got a feeling he ain't got any intentions of changing anything. And so, as far as our nature goes. But the point being is that we have to still sort of separate the wheat from the chaff. In other words, yes, there'll always be inter-office politics and inter-office intrigue and stuff like that. But then there is this business of using the FBI and the Department of Justice and the media and other organizations in order to control the whole process and to control people and people's thoughts and things like that. That part of the deep state we do need to root out and eliminate. But if we think that we're going to, you know, eliminate backstabbing and treachery and all of that sort of thing, well, we're in the wrong business. Because once again, politics at the end of the day, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the day, is all about human nature. And not attempting to change it, but to work effectively within it. And this is what the president is doing quite well, and what other presidents have done. And but once again, when it comes to this deep state business of using the DOJ and the FBI and stuff like that, we're the ones who hold the key here to whether this will continue or not. And that begins, that process of us determining that begins on November the 6th. Because if we let the Democrats retake the House of Representatives, I guarantee you, all of the deep state people will breathe a sigh of relief and go back to what they do best, which is cheating us out of our right to have a say in this country. They're a bunch of thieves, liars, and cheats. And that we can do something about. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Radio Show on a three-hour Sunday evening classic tour.
News, opinion, passion.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
Welcome back for hour number two, or welcome to hour number two of the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour. Thanks so much for being out there with us, ladies and gentlemen. We really do appreciate that. Once again, we're here live in the Relax and Comfort Studios, where we welcome your phone call at 407-774-8255. I am Christopher Hart, and Jeff's still on the bridge, of course, and now Kathy Santomassino has joined us in the studio.
Hello, Chris.
There we go. And if you didn't hear me earlier, just tuned in, Aubrey Kahn was, couldn't make it tonight. He's actually working, but he promised to come in tomorrow night. Okay, so we're just talking about the deep state stuff and all of that. And, of course, all of this is playing into election season, which we do have coming up. And before we get to all of that, I swear I saw last night a promo on Fox News that John Voight was going to be on Mark Levin's show tonight. However, I just got a text from Eddie. It said it's going to be Shelby Steele. Now, I thought he had one guest the whole hour, didn't he?
He usually does, yeah.
Yeah, and I would not know what's going on, but... I'm pretty sure I saw John Voight. I know I saw John Voight with Mark Levin last night promoting tonight's show, but that doesn't mean they made a mistake, didn't make a mistake. So I don't know if he's going to be on tonight's show or not, but if he is, you'll definitely want to tune in. Shelby Steele would be a good author. You know, he's an excellent author and conservative. That'd be very interesting as well. Okay. This news just came out. Les Moonves is out.
Oh, yeah.
The head of CBS, and he, of course, had been dragged into the sexual harassment Me Too business, and the decision has now been made that he will leave. What does that mean for CBS? Well, it means that the people who were trying to take control away from Les have succeeded. And you'll probably see a little bit more liberal, even more liberal bent at CBS.
You know, Chris, Hollywood has a swamp as well.
Oh, indeed, and it's full of them there swamp creatures. And that news just broke tonight. Before Kathy got here in the last hour of the show, I was talking about how. A lot of what we're seeing going on and a big deal being made of it is because they are just simply trying to make a big deal of it. And that a smooth running White House is pretty much a rarity. You had under the Reagan administration, for instance, he had like three or four chiefs of staff, and it was actually Nancy Reagan who controlled the president's schedule. And she did it with the help of an astrologer. You remember her name?
Oh.
Jean Dixon.
Jean Dixon.
And this was after the president had the assassination attempt, and he had been shot. And Nancy pretty much blamed it on his people. You know, how could you let this happen to him, was her attitude. And so after that, she decided, well, if you want something done right, you better do it yourself. And so she took matters into her own hands and made it quite clear to Donald Reagan and others that she was not going to tolerate them not having her in the loop. And so she ran that White House with a firm hand. But certainly a White House seemingly in disarray is a standard story that you see in the media. I mean, we saw that even with the Obama administration, Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. They would still do stories about the White House in disarray at various points.
Exactly.
Because once again, you're dealing with hundreds, even thousands of people who all have their own interest at heart, first and foremost. Oh, yeah, we're all there for the U.S. of A., but they then get caught up into the personal politics of everything. And you get little cliques and little groups, and everybody's trying to outdo one
another.
It's
almost like high school revisited.
Exactly. Which is why a guy like Trump is right at home in that.
Yeah, he's like the quarterback on the high school football team.
He's
the star player. And then you have the wannabes, and then you have the cheerleaders. And they're the Omarosas and the Kellyanne Conways.
Well, not Omarosa's not a cheerleader.
Well, she was, but she was a cheerleader for the wrong side, if you know what I mean.
Well, it turns out she is a cheerleader now for the wrong side. She had been a cheerleader for President Trump.
But what I'm sort of using metaphors to describe, if you've gone to high school, which everybody has, and you see how cliquish it has become, and you have the stars, and then you have the wannabes. And then you have the people that are kind of wedged in between, and they're looking for the opportunity to further their cause, whether it's political or something else.
Well, it's at the end of the day, this is all human nature.
Right.
All right. And it's going to go on. It doesn't matter who is the president or not. You're going to have some element of this. Now, what they're trying to say is that because President Trump is the president, you have this stuff going on. It's the same thing as trying to blame the president for the nation being divided. I'll give Obama credit for this. When he made his speech Thursday, he did say that this era of politics, if you want to call it that, has been around for years. He said resentments. He's talking about what's going on in our political realm, political life right now, that the resentments that are there are resentments that politicians have been fanning for years. He called Trump a symptom, not the cause. And in a way, he's right. But he's implying with this that it can be cured, that Trump is a symptom, that he's not the cause, but that there being that he is a symptom, it can be cured. But see, this is the genius of Trump. Is that he understands that this is the nature of politics, that the nature of politics is derived from human nature, and human nature thrives on conflict. Okay? We love it. We love conflict. We can't wait to see it. That's why we watch The Bachelorette. That's why we watch The Bachelor. That's why we watch these talent shows. Because you want to see the conflict. You want to see what's his name, you know, trash the talent. What's the guy's name, the English guy, the big guy on the talent show?
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
He's there
about.
With Howie. Howie's on one end. He's on the other.
Oh, you mean America's Got Talent.
Right.
Simon Cowell.
Simon. Okay, everybody loves Simon because he's an a-hole, right? Because they expect him to interject that element of conflict. And if he's not doing it, then it falls to one of the other panel members to do it.
Yeah.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And but then when that one talent does come along and they can all agree, well, that's fine. But they can't do that all the time. Nobody would watch. Who would care? You see, everybody wants to see the conflict. That's why professional wrestling works. It's not just the conflict in the ring. That is the culmination of the bigger conflict between the opponents in the ring. That's why they come out first and insult each other, interrupt a match that they're having with somebody else. It is to interject that drama of the conflict. The conflict in the ring is not enough. Simply having two people get in a ring and wrestle is not exciting. But when the perception is they really hate one another and they really want to hurt one another, or he's done something you don't like and so you want to see him get his butt beat, that's what you really want.
It's almost like the good and evil.
Right. That's what it all works on.
Right.
And that's what politics works on. And you see it all the time. Even this grandstanding with the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh. There was Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. And this is we shake our heads and, you know, criticize them and ridicule them and stuff. But let me tell you something. They were doing exactly what we want to see. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see a boring hearing, you know, talking about this statute and that statute and this Supreme Court decision. That's not good conflict.
That would be way too civil.
Right. And which doesn't fit with politics.
No.
This is the illusion that we have been given, is that politics is a civil pursuit. It's never been civil. I mean, did you ever read Shakespeare and all this stuff? For God's sake. I mean, we've even had the duel between Burr and Hamilton. So it's never civil. And Trump understands that, and he uses it to his advantage. He purposely creates the conflict because he knows that's what everybody wants. And the media wants it more than anybody else. And I guarantee at the end of the day, after they've derided him and disparaged him and criticized him and expressed all kinds of hatred for him, at the end of the night, they click their glasses together and go, thank God for Donald Trump. He's the best thing that ever happened to us. I guarantee you.
It's interesting, though, Chris, that Obama has come out of hiding, and now he's the wonder boy of the DNC. However, there's a problem. He's not as far left as the progressive movement. So he's sort of the odd one out now. He is not as far left as Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. So he's sort of like now kind of trying to figure out what is his position going to be to rally the DNC. That's going to be tough.
Well, he is going to be out there. You'll see both. With the last 2 days, Thursday or Friday and Saturday, we saw both. In Illinois, you saw him being more the far left guy, although not as far left as Bernie Sanders. You're right. And Friday, he was even more moderate. And this came out in Ben Rhodes' book about Obama, where Obama expressed to Rhodes, maybe we went too far.
Mm.
You see,
I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so his thinking is, if I went too far, these people are really going to go too far. So the Democrat Party has got a severe identity crisis going on right now. You got it really going on both parties. And on the Democrat side, it is between the far left wing of the party and the more moderates, which is now Barack Obama.
Right.
For God's sake. I mean,
they've already moved
that far left.
Yeah.
But in a way, the moderates would be better off if these far left-wing candidates were to lose this fall. And because then the moderates could say, look, you see, your message, the country's not ready for it yet. You got to fall in line behind us. 2020 is coming up. We'll see how that plays out. Gillum is an example. We'll see how it plays out here in Florida. And because on the surface of it, and Gillum has said something that we said on the show the first night when we realized he had won the primary, and that is that the whole country is going to be watching this. And what happens here in Florida is going to have an effect elsewhere. In other words, if he wins, it's going to legitimize that wing of the party, mm-hmm. and other people are going to feel more comfortable with it. If he loses, then it puts people like Obama more firmly back in control. And don't think that Obama doesn't know that. But he will still nonetheless get out there and do his due diligence. But in doing so, he's also now running the 2016 campaign over again.
Yeah.
Because Hillary Clinton was going to continue the Obama wonder years, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And we rejected that for President Trump. So, and believe me, Democrats, you know, they're looking at this as a double-edged sword. On the one hand, he's still a very popular politician. But on the other hand, the Trump-Obama comparison didn't work out so well the last time.
Mm-mm.
So we'll see. But another thing, there's another comparison, and this will go back to what I was talking about, conflict. But we got to take a break before we conflict with the bottom of the hour. So we'll take that break and come back on the other side and talk a little bit more about this Trump era of politics, where it heightens but didn't create, as Obama himself said, the situation that we have in politics here. And then I'm going to compare it to the Obama style. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Welcome back to the show for you. A little eye of the tiger for you right there, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're live here in the Relaxing Comfort Studio. 407-774-8255 is the number. As long as we have the eye of the tiger, keep our eye on the ball, keep focused, and know that we are the ones who really hold the destiny of the country in our hands in this last election. If that doesn't prove it to you, I don't know what will. It just, we got to get out there and make this thing happen here in the fall.
Here's what I'm going to think about now when I see Obama. You know, Obama basically created Trump. We talked about that.
Well, he created a path for Trump to get elected.
Yeah, he created a path for him to win the election.
Right. And by the way, we saw Judge Jeanine say that last night.
Yeah,
remember? She said she would thank him.
Yeah, she would kiss him. I remember.
No, she didn't say she would kiss him.
Well,
I remember you saying you would kiss him.
I probably would too, but him being out there like he is may just be the adrenaline boost the Republicans need, because he's the reason Trump won to begin with. So
I think the midterms
may be a surprise for the Democrats, and not in a good way.
Well, I think you're right, and I think it may go further than that. That because Trump understands what we were just talking about, and that is that when you get right down to it, we love the conflict.
Yes.
Right? Obama's presenting this much more sedate, boring image of, no, you know, this is, you know, we don't.
The lecturer.
Right. And
the college professor that you fell asleep on during class because he was so boring.
And what did Trump say about him the other day about his speech?
He made him sleepy.
He made him fall asleep. And I'm sure he was probably joking, but a guy who sleeps as little as Trump, you know, that's not saying much.
Exactly.
But that's the reaction a lot of people are going to have. Because once again, people don't watch television to be bored. They watch it to be stimulated and excited, and conflict is what does it. Drama. What do they call, if you're watching television, you're either watching sports, news, comedy, or what?
Reality TV.
Well, no, it's a much more broad term. Drama.
Drama. Reality TV.
But so is ER and Chips and what are the Law and Order shows that are out now?
CSI.
Right. You see, if you go back through the history of television, you will see that it's the most popular shows are Law and Order shows. First, it was Western Law and Order, Gunsmoke and Bonanza and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The Big Valley. You remember the Big Valley? And
Rawhide.
Yeah, it was all Law and Order stuff, right. Though, right? Right and wrong, the good
black,
and evil.
The black and the white hats.
Exactly, right? And the drama that's created, you see?
Right.
And the same thing now, Hawaii 5-0 tonight. Now, I don't watch the new one.
I like the old one.
Me too. I never watch remakes. Remakes always let me down.
And they're bringing Magnum P.I. back, but I won't watch that either.
No, because it won't have Tom Selleck.
Not Tom Selleck.
Yeah, and his buddy. Remember the guy that the house there?
Yeah.
So it's just not the same. I mean, mm-hmm. Do something different. Give it a different name, but it's the same idea. I mean, detective shows. They continually work because it's working on human nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that we like to see the drama. We like to see the conflict. We like to see the mystery. And we got all that with Trump.
And more.
And more. And then you got old boring Obama. And Clinton was the same way. Hillary Clinton was boring. She was a very bad candidate.
Yeah, definitely.
And Bill Clinton was not. Bill Clinton, you got everything. Bill Clinton, you got the drama. You got the sex. You got it all.
And you know, there is a parallel between Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And you know what it is?
I hesitate to guess.
And I don't like saying this, but they're both charismatic individuals.
Well, of course, you know, yeah, you're right. No, and I don't be sad to say it, because that, once again, see, that's the charisma comes from the swagger, mm-hmm. And the confidence comes from knowing you can defeat your opponent. The conflict, you see, it all derives from the conflict.
And you know what? I think it's also, there's a battle between the intellectual and the fighter, and you've got Barack Obama, who's kind of the intellectual, and
yep.
He's a legend in his own mind.
Right.
And then you have President Trump, who's a fighter,
right.
Sometimes a bully,
right.
And a doer, and he's
right.
Not so much a thinker, but he's a doer, and he's a little reactive,
mm-hmm.
But that's what makes him so good at being president of the United States, because yep. He doesn't let people get in his way, and he makes decisions on the fly. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. But it's strange how they always turn out to his advantage.
It's because his instinct.
He has great instincts.
And his instincts are based on human instincts.
And you know what?
His understanding of human instinct is unparalleled right now in the political process. Bill Clinton comes close, but nobody else comes anywhere near.
But Obama, he overthinks
right.
Everything.
He does, indeed. And it makes him an old fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, he really is.
And as I said, that's not exciting, and people like excitement, and they gravitate toward that. And as I said, Trump delivers.
And you know,
and not only delivers by accident, but delivers on purpose.
And you know, another thing about Trump, I've read the book, The Art of the Deal, but I've studied him and watched him. He's very much a risk-taker.
And to a certain extent.
To a certain degree.
Yes.
I mean, his instincts, I think, help him weigh that risk.
Right.
But Obama, by the time he made up his mind, we were in another year.
Yes.
I mean, it was a year later, and by then it was a moot point.
Right.
Obama overthought everything, and I think he relied too much on his staff.
Well,
opposed to his instincts.
But Obama doesn't have any instincts, you see, because he never had any real world experience in order to develop those instincts, you see. But you're right. Trump does, and he is a risk taker. North Korea is proof of that. He's taken a huge risk there.
Yeah.
And by the way, the North Koreans had their annual big, huge military parade
today. 70th year anniversary as an independent country. And in their parade, there were no ICBMs as floats.
That's right.
Which was a big deal, and I think the left was paying attention to that.
Right, and the theme of the parade, the theme of the celebration was peace and prosperity.
Yeah, can you believe that?
That's going to require some pretty dramatic changes on their part in order to accomplish that.
And apparently there was a letter...
Well, they have been communicating.
Delivered to Trump.
Right. They've been communicating back and forth, and we don't know if Kim is just trying to stroke his ego in order to fool him or if there's sincerity there. But Trump is taking the risk to find out. And you're right about Obama. I believe I read in one of Ed Klein's books about the Obamas that Michelle would get exasperated with him because he couldn't decide what tie to wear in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
And we saw that in Afghanistan. Yeah. You remember the troop levels in Afghanistan? He went round and round and round. And you're right. Trump makes decisions. He's used to making a decision and having to make it right now. Because, you know, when you're building a skyscraper and the architect or an engineer calls you and says, hey, Donald, we got a problem and we need a decision right now. He can't wait.
No.
He got to do it right now.
Yeah.
And so people who think he won't be able to handle a crisis situation don't know what they're talking about. All right. Well, we got to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, well, we'll be halfway through tonight's 3-hour tour. But that means we got halfway to go. And then, of course, you got Armed American Radio after that. And the Jewish New Year kicks off this
week. That's right, Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, so happy and wonderful and safe Rosh Hashanah to everyone out there, in particular our Jewish listeners.
And Rachel Cohen, we send our love and greetings for a wonderful Rosh Hashanah.
And where are you? We'll be back.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. The National Hurricane Center says Florence is expected to become a major hurricane within a day as it crawls closer to the U.S. Atlantic seaboard. The Miami-based center says Florence is gaining strength and is expected to become a major hurricane Monday and keep that status as a powerful and extremely dangerous storm until Thursday. Florence had top sustained winds of 85 miles per hour, was centered about 720 miles southeast of Bermuda, while moving westward at 7 miles per hour. U.S. gas prices remain steady over the past couple of weeks, and an analyst says that the pump price may start to drop later this month. Analyst Trilby Lundberg says that the average price of regular-grade gas as of Friday was $2.91 per gallon. A tower that honors the passengers and crew killed when a hijacked plane was crashed into a rural Pennsylvania field is now in place. More details at srnnews.com.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
folks. I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to The American Adversaries, the best in political professional wrestling on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The answer, tough guy, ho!
And away we go with the second half of tonight's show. Thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. If you need to go out on the road, you might want to wait a while, especially if you're coming up this way, because it is coming down cats and dogs out there. Got a little thunderstorm rolling through. All right, in the meantime, we're here live until 8 o'clock. You're listening to The American Adversaries, coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios, part of the Salem Media Group complex here. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Kathy Santomassino is in the studio along with myself, Christopher Hart. Aubrey had to work tonight. He promised to stop by tomorrow night, though. Jeff is on the bridge. We were talking about the president's style and the Obama style is now, comparing them as candidates. And, of course, they're out there, both of them, on the campaign trail because of the midterm elections. Pardon me. And the Republicans are sitting in a pretty good position, a real good position, when it comes to the Senate, because they are defending far less seats this time around than the Democrats. That eventually will come back, and payback will be some later date. But for right now, the Democrats have to defend more seats, Senate seats, and in states, about 10 or 12 of their Senate seats are in states that President Trump won big. And then, of course, you have the House of Representatives, and that is a different story. That is where the Democrats, on paper, have the advantage because so many Republicans have resigned. It's over three dozen Republicans have resigned from the House of Representatives, mostly because they're losing their committee chair positions, like the fella from California, Nunez, is that his name? Anyway, he has decided to resign because he's lost his chairman's position, and that is not a law, or that is not even a rule of the Senate. I'm sorry, of the House. That is simply a rule that Republicans have imposed upon themselves, and that is that they term limit not their careers as congresspeople, but they term limit their positions, their time as committee chairs. And after you've been the chair of a committee, you don't want to go back and just be a regular congressperson, I guess. So the Democrats, in that sense, definitely have an advantage. But they do not have an advantage when it comes to the fundraising. The Republican Party has clearly been outraising the Democrat Party. And the organization, the ground game of the Republican Party has gotten significantly better as well. And it appears as though the party has been doing quite well under the leadership of Mitt Romney's daughter, Ronda.
RNC
right.
chairwoman.
Exactly. And but still, as I said, we're the voters are the wild card, because nobody really ever really knows until election time what the voters are going to do. And it is especially in our hands here in Florida, in Central Florida. By the way, Quinnipiac came out with a poll this past week as to the Senate race here in Florida, and it is a dead heat, 49-49. And it breaks down this way. Men back Governor Scott, 53-45, and women back Nelson, 53-45.
Isn't that interesting?
It is indeed. White voters back Scott, 55-44, and black voters favor Nelson, 90-5. So Nelson, or I'm sorry, Rick Scott does not seem to be
resonating.
Well, not that. He's not getting any advantage from President Trump's popularity amongst blacks. That might change.
What
ever
about
so
Hispanics?
Slightly.
How is he doing with Hispanics?
It doesn't say as far as Hispanics go. It was 785 likely voters from Florida. And by the way, Nelson also leads amongst independents, 56-43. So even though Nelson leads amongst women and independents and overwhelmingly amongst blacks, he's still just in a dead heat with Rick Scott.
Yeah.
So that means that Rick Scott probably has more upside potential than Bill Nelson does. I think these numbers are as good as they're going to get for Bill Nelson. So it means that Rick Scott should be able to pull more of the undecided votes than Bill Nelson.
I think so, too. And, Chris, the reason I think that it's going to lean towards Scott is because of his governorship and the success with the jobs.
I think that's
and
part
the economy
of it.
In Florida and the tourism surge. And just the state of Florida has done, on the average, better than any other state in the union for the last, 8 years?
It certainly makes him the first real competition that Bill Nelson has seen since I can remember, since Bill Nelson ran for governor.
He's going to give Nelson a run for his money.
I do believe, and I do believe that he can win. But once again, we're the ones. It's not up to Scott.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not up to Nelson. It's up to us. All they can do is get out there and try to make their case in whatever fashion they want to make it. But it's up to us to decide. And the question is simply going to be, and it comes down to, and I love this sort of campaign slogan, do you want results or do you want resistance? Because if you want results, you want more of the same.
That is so true.
If you do not want results, then go for the resistance. It's as simple as that.
And if you vote for the DNC, you're going to get the resistance.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Dwayne is on the line. Hey, how you doing tonight, Dwayne? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Chris. I'm glad to get to speak to you. And again, it's so difficult to follow you up because so many of your points are so salient. It's hard to come on and have a new point.
well, you managed to do it, so I appreciate that.
But I wanted to make a couple of comments, and one was, and you haven't really talked about it, but and I really don't want to go into a tangent on it. But was the Nike thing, and I sat and looked back at it for a while, and I really think that the ultimate thinking at Nike was they're going to abandon white middle class. It was a Democratic thing that Obama did back in 2012, and I really think they thought their sales are inner city, urban, where they can control that type of sales, and that was their thinking in doing that. They basically said, okay, we're just going to give up middle America. We're going to concentrate on minorities and the urban clashes.
Right.
And that was their business model.
Okay, I did talk about Nike at the top of the show, and I was going in that direction. As a matter of fact, I'm holding in my hands some notes that I had written earlier. I'd scribbled some things down, which is the way I take notes. I just scribble them down whenever I think about it or hear it. And I got here written, Nike sales jump. Because their sales did jump over the last few days, even though their stock price went down, their sales went up. And then I got a little dash, and next to it, I wish I could the Titan Cave Cam. I'd hold it up. See, read there, Kathy, what I have written next to Nike sales jump, and then the dash. What do I have written there?
Gangsta shoes.
Gangsta shoes, which is what you were just talking about. But they have decided that that's what their market is going to be. That inner city gangsta stuff is what they want. And
we've had it here in Central Florida when a new shoe hit, we've had riots at the Mall of Millennia down there. I mean, literally people just beating each other to death over a stupid pair of tennis shoes. And the reality is that my son, who's a soccer player, and we were talking about it, and he's like me, he's a libertarian. And he says, this is just so stupid. And I said, well, what do you think about Nike? He's like, yeah, they're crappy shoes. I don't buy them. I buy Adidas because they last longer and they're better shoes.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that says it right there.
It does. But it also is, this is just a huge marketing campaign. This is why you're absolutely correct. This is all about marketing to a particular demographic that they see as the future of their company. And they see it's like, and I don't want to get too far off in this tangent, but like McDonald's. You know, McDonald's has undergone a massive change in how they market their product over the last couple of years. Ronald McDonald is gone. Ronald McDonald was McDonald's for decades. He's gone. The whole McDonald's chain is undergoing a massive change because they are now appealing to a different demographic than what they did for since their inception, since Ray Kroc took it over anyway. And you see this now happening with Nike, is that they have decided that their future lies with the gangsters, not with people like you and me. And we'll see how it plays out.
The reason I had called, that was, like I said, I didn't want to really delve too far into that, but was the this media hodgepodge and exacerbation of rumors and innuendo and soap opera atmosphere that the media has generated, literally, and this doesn't go back to where Trump started. This goes back to George W. Bush, and the media's attitude toward, really the general public, and their attitude toward how politics should be run.
Right.
And one of the funny things that the media trashed W. for whatever he did during his term. And then they crawled up Obama's butt for whatever he did during his term.
Right.
The one thing was they were still fairly predictable in what they were going to do. The swamp was still a swamp. You could get your pundits on TV at night, and they were going to go, oh, well, this is not politically correct, so they're not going to do this, and they're not going to do that. And more than often than not, they were relatively right throughout that period. Now we got a guy in there who they have no clue how to analyze this guy because they don't know what he's going to do day to day.
That's
a fact. And it screws up their little world to the point where they can't handle it. It has blown their mind. They can't sit there and go, well, the politically correct answer is, and I look so smart, and I'm going to go work at a think tank next week because I'm so smart. Now it's like, you don't know what you're talking about.
But that's why
this isn't the way it's going to happen.
No, and that's why I say they double down on getting things wrong. It's like this book with Woodward. They've gone overboard in their contrivances. And even now, Woodward is ruining his representation because he's going overboard with these contrivances. And it's because they can't figure him out. You're absolutely right. That's why, I call him also the pinball wizard. If you listen to the lyrics of the pinball wizard, he's the deaf, dumb, and blind kid, but he sure plays a mean pinball. And we don't know how he's doing it. This is the lyrics. And their contrivances are going to be their downfall with this guy because he's driving them further and further into the realm of the unreal. And that's poison to the news business. You have to have some attachment to reality for the news business to work. All right, Dwayne.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And then to follow up with what you were just saying a few minutes ago with all of the polls and everything.
Yeah.
I'm an independent. Most of my friends are independents. I hang around with a bunch of libertarians, obviously. We are all voting R.
Well,
and the polls aren't going to pick that up. And this is the same thing that happened when Trump came into being, is these same polls aren't counting up.
Right.
They're going to be hard pressed.
Well, I appreciate that. And I know you're right. And they're going to be surprised. But here's the startling thing about this Quinnipiac poll where Nelson leads supposedly amongst independents. What did I say it was? 56 to 43. And it's a dead heat. What this means is that Scott doesn't need a majority of independents to win this election. He only needs about 45%, and he's got a done deal, and that's doable. Mm-hmm. That is very doable.
And we're all here. We're all there.
You're already there. God bless you, man. Thanks so much, Dwayne. I appreciate you so much.
Hey, great show. Love you guys.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a break and come back on the other side with more of the American Adversaries on a Sunday evening, 3-hour classic tour with you.
Do
you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it's a little swampy out there tonight. All right. Kathy Santomassino and I are in the studio, and in a few minutes, Sonny's going to join us from California. We're going to talk about the Miss America pageant, which is going on tonight. Did you know that?
That will be a sleeper.
That's going to be on ABC.
No more bikinis.
Well, they never did bikinis, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Where were you? I'm surprised you didn't know that.
No, I remember the one pieces. And they were sexy enough. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And Serena Williams, my God, did you see what happens
upset
to her?
Upset. Oh, wow.
Upset. Yeah, the upset in the match. And, of course, her being upset and what transpired between her and the umpire. It was quite something. And
very testy.
Yeah. And, of course, she turned it into a... a woman thing, discrimination. So we'll talk about that, though, with Sonny. Spartacus, real quick about Spartacus. What Cory Booker was doing was comical, mm-hmm. but it's very typical of politics. And he chose that character Spartacus because Spartacus was a great champion. You remember the movie with Kirk Douglas?
I love the movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Kirk Douglas. What an actor.
He is phenomenal in that.
And he's still around.
Yeah, he's over 100 years old now.
Can you
too.
Imagine that? But Spartacus, he was a gladiator. He was a fighter. He was a champion
yes.
of the people, you see?
And he had a lot of supporters.
Right. And this is the image that Cory Booker wants for himself. Now, if it doesn't stick, it becomes comical, you see? And with him, but you can see why he did it. Once again, this is because in politics, it's all about good versus evil. And with Spartacus, he's being associated with someone who was a fighter and to the death matches for good. He stood for what was good. And even when it wasn't to his, going to work out for him. And so this was the image that Booker was trying to create.
Yeah, he created imagery for a purpose, though. That was not an accident.
I guarantee you, even though we laugh about it, and I hope we're still on the air because we're getting lightning on left and right here in the tower. I don't know if it's getting struck or not, but the lights are flickering on us. But anyway, we'll assume we're still on the air. But I guarantee you there are people out there, liberals and, the crybabies who loved it. Yeah, Spartacus, man. Even though they don't know who the hell Spartacus is.
Not if you're under the age of 50. You have no idea who he is.
Probably don't.
I'm sure they Googled it, though.
But they'll be out there to find out why. And all I can figure out is why he used that name is he probably just saw the movie himself or something. But I can clearly see why he did that. Now, the timing was screwy.
Very.
But the whole point, though, you know, you constantly hear politicians referring to, I'll fight for you. I'll be your champion. Once again, it's all this good versus evil stuff and conflict and how we actually crave conflict. Mm-hmm. We can't get enough of it. That's why, you know, you got the rubberneckers, and I don't like to rubberneck myself. But you get rubberneckers when you have an accident. People want to see what happened. Right? Good news is okay, but bad news is best in the news business. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And it's because that's what people want to see. That's what they find more interesting. So we got Roger on the line right now. Hey, Roger, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, Titans. Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. God bless you, man, for being there.
God bless you, too. Yeah. Just about the New York slime.
And by the way, you being a member of the American Adversaries Army and a general in the Army, I just want to say you are a big help to this show. Thank you very much for that.
Well, I'm trying to get your name out and do what I can.
All right, well, go ahead.
I'm just the little fish.
Well, the monetary support makes a difference. I just want you to know. Go ahead.
All right, as far as the New York slime and all the lies and stuff that they're putting out with that op-ed and everything, that's why I call them the New York slime, because they're so slimy.
I like that.
Anyway, there's too many possibilities there. Could have been Woodward just trying to sell his book. Could have been anyone in the leftist swamp just throwing out more lies like they always do, saying it's anonymous. They don't ever come forth and put their name on anything, so you can't trust anything they say. Just like this thing with Cory Booker, I'd say it's easy to see. He was just up there showboating just to get his name out for 2020. So
Yep, 2020.
They're all a waste.
2020 and beyond.
Keep praying this through that DJT can. DJT, that almost sounds like a wrestler.
That's right.
DJT, Let's hope we can do some more in this swamp, because it's going to take a while. So
it is indeed.
Keep praying him through, and you're doing a great job.
Amen to that. You got it right, Roger. Thanks so much, brother. Appreciate you being out there.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And he's right. And the president is the ideal guy for the times. We said this during the campaign, and we see it playing out now. Can you imagine any other politician? They would have withered under these attacks. And by the way, they attacked George W. Bush pretty heartily, too, because of the election in 2000 and never allowed him to be a credible candidate. And if it had not been for 9/11, and I don't say this in any, you know, fashion to say thank God for 9/11, but if it had not been for 9/11, I don't know if he'd have been a two-term president. Probably not, because they were well on their way to trashing him, and he did very little to defend himself. And speaking of 9/11, of course, Tuesday is the 17th anniversary.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And, of course, we'll do a few things on the show Tuesday. But, you know, everybody just needs to commemorate that in your own fashion. And I'm sure there'll be moments of silence at the White House and Congress, stock market, things like that, at the particular times that they have been doing that. They will name the names, I anticipate, in New York City, as they do every year. There'll be a ceremony at the Pentagon, and there'll be a lot of television shows, some new, some repeats. And I anticipate, we'll see if they do it again, but I anticipate that MSNBC will play their NBC morning coverage of the day of 9/11 with Katie Couric and Tom Brokaw and all of them. They have up until now, and I have always acknowledged and credited them for doing this. I know we attack them all the time, but when they do something right, I got to, you know, give them credit for that. And up until now, and I hope they do it again Tuesday, they go to that morning's coverage when they first started the coverage of the plane, the first plane having hit the
tower.
It was
like at 9:03 a.m.
It was a little earlier. Something like that, yeah. And but they... we'll see if MSNBC does that again this year. I hope and would encourage them to do so. And I only wish the other networks would do the same. Fox, all of them, they should do the very same. because that was such a monumental time in our history and still has a bearing on political decisions and foreign policy decisions being made today. And so it's just something that, and of course, a lot of people, it's now 17 years, don't really even know what it meant.
I can't believe it's been that long. Do you know, I recall every minute of that morning, it's embedded in my memory.
Yep.
I remember where I was, who I called, who called me, what I had for breakfast, how long I cried. I think I cried for like 4 or 5 hours. I couldn't stop crying. And then you couldn't step away from it. It was on the radio, TV, newspaper.
Yeah, I was sitting there having eating breakfast, oatmeal with raisins.
Yeah, I had oatmeal too.
And I was watching CNBC, watching the stock ticker and all that stuff. And then they went to first report. There's a small plane has hit one of the Trade Center towers. A small plane.
Yeah.
And then they went to the live coverage, and I was sitting there watching the live coverage when the second plane went into the tower. Yeah, thoughts on the direction of our country. They're showing John Voight on Life, Liberty, and Levin tonight at 10 p.m. So I don't know what's going on.
So you were right. Who knows?
Anyway, that's the promo they're running, John Voight. But to get back to I sat there, and when that second plane went in, I knew immediately, this is terrorism.
This is terrorism.
And everybody knew it at that moment. All right, we'll take a break and come back for hour number 3 of the American Adversary Sunday Evening 3-Hour Classic Tour. Once again, please check out our brand new website and enter the drawing to win some great prizes. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. I think you'll really like it. It's awesome. And that's AmericanAdversaries.com right there on the home page. You can enter the contest. So easy to do. We'll be right back.
News, opinion, passion.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government, a confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy The American Adversaries.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Radio Show entering hour number 3 of our Sunday Evening 3-Hour Classic Tour. We're here, we're live in a relaxing comfort studio. It appears as though the thunderstorm has moved on, so hopefully we won't get any more static or lightning strikes here. But in the meantime, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 407-774-8255 is the number. Or just sit back and relax and take it all in. And don't forget, when we're through, Mark Walters will take you until 11 o'clock with some live radio in his show, Armed American Radio. I am Christopher Hart, along with Kathy Santomassino. We're here in the studio. Jeff's on the bridge, 407-774-8255 is the number. And it is now time to go to California and speak to our gorgeous lady of wrestling. That's Patricia Sunny Summerlin. How you doing tonight, Patricia?
Sunny. I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent, excellent. So
wonderful.
Good. How's the weather out there, by the way? Are the fires all
it's
gone
beautiful.
And everything?
Yeah, we're getting fall weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, much cooler. Yeah, this morning it was 47.
Ooh, God, dang. I guess that is much cooler. Wow.
Well, it's still warm in the day, though, so we have a significant 30 degrees, you know, heat up. But it's in the 80s here, breezy, and then it starts cooling down in the evenings to 50.
Wow.
And then in the morning, sometimes, obviously, 40 is what my car read 47 this morning.
That's a cold winter morning here in Orlando. Listen, We were talking a few minutes ago that tonight is the Miss America finals. You know, the pageant started, what, 3 or 4 days ago, right? Isn't it like a 3 or 4 day event?
I usually watch them one night. Yeah.
Miss Florida, by the way, won the talent portion of the show with a classical piano performance.
Wow, very good.
Yeah.
Congratulations to her.
And Miss Wisconsin won the on-stage interview competition. And since they're not going to do evening gowns or bathing suits, what's left?
Oh, they're doing evening gowns.
Where is it going? Yeah.
Oh, they're doing
evening. Yeah, they're doing evening gowns.
They're doing evening. Well, other than that, there's not much left. I mean, right? So tonight's the competition, the finals, and it will be on ABC. It's going to be interesting to see what the ratings are. But, of course, there's a lot of controversy going on with the new rules. And the outgoing Miss America is saying that she has felt that she has been bullied because she has not been on board with some of the changes that the new what's her name? Gretchen Carlson.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. She was bullied by the other, what's the lady's name? I guess she was, you know,
the new director.
Not so nice to her.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, are we going to have a Miss America pageant in a couple of years? You think?
Right. I know. It'll be interesting to see, but that's part of America. And that's something that, you know, it's just been in our generations of family TV, honestly. But apparently the bikini, I just don't see that whole thing with this. I'm not watching it, in fact. I'm recording my Shameless show that comes out tonight. So to me, that's more interesting because Mary Kennedy, who is the new Fiona, she is actually pushing our Afterglow series. So
congratulations.
We're definitely on board with that. We have our musical that's coming out in October, and it's hit the social media platforms. We have 3 days of our Afterglow the Musical starring myself, Roxy Astor, Matilda DeHun, and Dallas, and Eileen MTV.
Now, y'all can sing?
We're doing a musical? Yes. I mean, I sang in Glow.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, of course. I sang my Knock Knock jokes.
Oh, that's right. That's
partial
right.
songs. Yeah. Yeah. Right, well, right. But I was a singer before that, so that's why they incorporated that.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
But I don't know about the other girls. What's going to happen is it's an actual, it's going to bring back the memories of Glow. We're on stage, and it is a musical because we have 80s music attached. So we're not actually singing, but the bands will be singing on the stage.
I see. Well, see,
yeah,
but
we don't want to scare them off.
but you just made my point. I think a lot of people, the Miss America pageant is just not, I mean, why would I watch? And I predict the ratings are going to take a huge hit this year, and that it'll be just a couple of years and it's probably going to be gone.
Right. Well, from at least the husbands and all the men, they used to watch it just to check out the hot women in bikinis.
Well, I think women. And I don't think women are going to find it as interesting as well.
Yeah.
You know, the woman's body is a thing of art in and of itself, for lack of a better way to put it. And and everybody wants to see it at its height, at its best. And this is not the way to go about it. And especially since you still have the Miss USA pageant, Miss Universe pageant, they're going to still be doing the bathing suits and stuff. So why, you know, who cares about Miss America if it's not really going to be about a woman and a woman's beauty?
Exactly, and you have Swimwear Illustrated, the Sports Illustrated is coming out, and I'm pushing for Brett Michaels' daughter, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
And I hope she's beautiful. She's amazing, and so I'm trying to push that out there. Yeah,
okay.
I don't agree with it. I think I agree that the women should be known for their talent, absolutely, and their due diligence to be a part of that and to be able to tour and make America, you know, a better place, and what they can do and give back and be a part of. And being sexy in a bikini really isn't part of that part, but it is part of the pageant. It is part to say, hey, that's a beautiful young lady, she's talented and she's smart and she can.
That's just it. See, that's just it. The whole idea of Miss America is that these women have it all. They got the brains, they got the beauty, they got the talent. But in this day and age of Me Too, and I'm not talking about Me Too in the women's harassment. I'm talking about where everybody has to have a trophy, that everybody gets a ribbon, the participation. You know, you can't have clear winners and clear losers when you had children's sports, with dodgeball. You know, this ridiculous notion that everybody has to be the same. Well, if you're going to have that attitude, you don't want a Miss America. You don't want this one person who stands out above all the others.
You know what's interesting? And I know Sonny will attest to this. When you're a beautiful woman, you do get preferential treatment. You have privileges that average or ugly women don't
get.
Same
thing goes for men.
Same thing for men, true.
Yeah.
But have you ever
absolutely.
Gone to a pageant or seen a pageant on TV that was for ugly people? Like the ugly dog contest, why don't they do an ugly Miss America contest?
They might have a little trouble getting contestants. But the whole notion of a Miss America was, once again, this was the ideal. And, by the way, that this was part of promoting a nuclear family where you had a husband and a wife and two kids. And we don't live so much in that world anymore. And I think I think this is a reflection of that. And I won't be surprised if Miss America opens up its doors to people who identify as women and aren't actually physically endowed as women. Let's speak a few minutes about Serena Williams.
She lost.
She lost, but she went down in an untoward fashion. She's one of the greatest tennis players, clearly. She and her sister both are the two. If you have two sisters, I mean, well, I don't know. There have been two other sisters or two siblings that played. Well, you had the two McEnroe brothers. Mm-hmm. But these two women together, you know, best tennis players come from one family ever. And she, of course, one of the best tennis players ever. And to go sort of, I don't want to say go out in this fashion, but she's clearly toward the end of her career. And
exactly. She's involved in other things as well.
And she just had a baby. And lo and behold, she won Wimbledon. And, you know, once again, just a tremendous tennis player. But it was sad to see yesterday. And now we've seen temper tantrums in tennis before. Of course, you had McEnroe. You had Jimmy Connors. Serena herself has had temper tantrums on the court before. And she certainly had one yesterday. And it all started because her coach admitted that he sent her a signal, which is illegal in that support. They can sit there and watch, but they're not allowed to coach. And he evidently sent her a hand signal. And the umpires caught it. And they issued her a warning. And she went ballistic. And it ended up costing her eventually a game.
That's 2 points, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. And that cost her that particular game. Now, this was in the second set, and it was already clear that she was on her way to being, if she didn't do something dramatic, being defeated. Mm-hmm. Not to say she couldn't have, but this certainly sort of sealed her fate. It tarnished the victory for the girl who won, Naomi Osaka, the first Japanese woman to win a Grand Slam event, who, by the way, was Serena was one of her idols.
Yeah,
and Serena just it's not so much that she went ballistic and had a fit. As I said, that's not new to tennis. But what was sad to me was then she wanted to turn it into a discrimination thing.
Yeah.
That
the umpire was discriminating against her because she was a woman. And now you're going to have all this, you know, uproar over that. And I hope she rethinks it and perhaps maybe apologizes. She sort of had a tepid apology, but doesn't it kind of discourage, you know, you when you see a woman so talented like that turn around and blame a defeat discrimination?
I think her ego got the best of her yesterday.
And that's all it is. Because
she had that baby.
Both of them have clearly had episodes of, outbursts in other scenarios, even in the public eye. There's been write-ups of both of them. So they're known for that. So it's not surprising she got upset.
No, but like
and,
I said,
you know, guess what? There's someone else, and now there's someone else that won.
It's like Tiger Woods. You're not going to always be the top of the league, whatever sport you're in. There comes a time when it's time to ride into the sunset and pass the torch to somebody else.
Well, but it's I understand what you're saying, because they're both at the top of their particular sport, but he never blamed his, travails on anybody but himself. And he's now back at his playing very competitive golf, although he's not the dominant player that he was before.
He's not, no.
Right.
But
this is part of the Kaepernick thing, you know, with the NFL. And that is to try to bring these social issues into the sport itself. And I'm not saying that there can't be discrimination in sports. Clearly there can be. But to make these accusations to, say, cover up for a bad performance, I don't think that's a good thing for a champion to be doing.
Bad sportsmanship.
At the end of the day.
It is. It's poor sportsmanship, and it just puts her on the way out, not in such a good light.
Well, let me ask you this. Was GLOW, the whole idea of Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling and having a women's-only wrestling federation, was part of the idea to do that is because women weren't getting a fair shake in the men's wrestling world?
Well, absolutely. We still are to this day, in some instances, by some men and also women that have been in the pro wrestling world, disagree with our fame, disagree and say that we shouldn't be as big as where we're at right now.
Right.
Because we were an entertainment show and we were not pro wrestlers. How about that? Oh, yeah. We get nasty hate. Oh, yeah.
Talk about irony, though. I mean,
isn't that something? And I thought, wow, because we actually were triple threats, you mean? And I went head to head with some of them because we were able to act. We were able to
sing,
you know, do the stunts as a pro wrestler, get in the ring, and also entertain the fans that we had there, which was, you know, not easy to do. And now that we're on live taping, it's live for television, which, you know, pro wrestlers are in indie shows, as Jeff knows, and as you know, in an indie show, you don't have that. If you mess up, you just keep going, because guess what? You're not on TV. You just got the crowd there you got to please. But we had to shine. It doesn't matter. If we messed up, guess what? We had to make that good, because television was watching. And we had how many millions of views? You know, we were the highest rated on television.
Yeah.
And they still hate us, some of them.
All right.
So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's still there, and it's sad and unfortunate. And now they really do. In fact, I just had someone the other day go, "Glow, glow, glow. And you guys think you're something special because you've got a show made about you." And it was just this guy was calling us pigs. He called us pigs. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's really mean.
I guess he
hasn't. And I'm mentioning names. He's someone in the business.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. Yeah, it was very hurtful. I was like, wow. Yeah.
I guess
those things you just got to address politely. And I blocked him.
Yeah. Well, I guess
he
must not have seen your Facebook page, or he wouldn't have been calling you that. That's for sure.
He called all of us Glow Girls pigs. It doesn't matter. That's the hate. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Blinds people. All right. Well, thanks, Sonny. We got to go, but we'll be talking to you next week.
Have a wonderful week, all of you. And God bless and happy Shana Tova to all my wonderful Jewish friends out there listening in Florida.
Thank you for saying that. And we'll be on the lookout for the musical. All right. That's Sonny, our California Gorgeous Lady of Wrestling. We'll take a break, come back, and it's time already for some odd stories. Not that we haven't already been talking about, but these are really odd stories.
Time to play the game!
Hey, Central Florida. Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me. Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at HerringCPA.com.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
That's right. Time to venture out into the Twilight Zone with Kathy Santomassino's Sunday's Odd Stories.
What a week for news, Chris. And, you know, the lead story tonight is from right here in O-Town. You saw the video showing the crane tumbling over the beautiful home in Baldwin Park, splitting the house in half.
I didn't see that. I heard about
it. There's a video
on YouTube.
It split
in half? Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Now,
you mean the old Navy base?
Yeah, that's Baldwin Park.
Yeah.
Now, the corporate safety director for Bale Brothers Crane and Rigging said the machinery likely fell over because the ground has been so wet with all the rain we've been having, okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's a little sketchy.
Yeah, they're supposed to put plywood down if that's the case.
Well, luckily no injuries were reported from the incident. However, the general manager for Gold Key Roofing said his crew was present at the time of the crash, and one worker came within just 4 feet of being struck by the falling machinery.
What were they lifting? Why did they need a crane in the beginning?
It looked like a two-story home, so it was shingles. And you know how they put the shingles on the roof before they start the job?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just seemed weird that the crane and rigging company was not there, but the roofing company was there. Well, so who was supervising the crane? Were they expecting the roofing company to watch the crane? And this was a big crane.
Sounds
okay?
like they need a good risk management person.
Yeah,
they
like
need
me.
To call you.
I tell you what. Well, luckily no one was hurt, but this had to be one of the unluckiest days for the owners of this beautiful home. But anyway, well, let's switch gears to one very lucky guy with a long winning streak. A Colorado man collected his third big lottery prize, which marked his second major second chance drawing win in 2 months. The Colorado Lottery said Paul G. of Colorado Springs won $250,000 in a second chance drawing for a non-winning Royal Crossword ticket on August 28th, only 2 weeks after he won $500,000 from a second chance drawing on August the 14th, the same month. Well, Paul previously collected $250,000 from a thrilling crossword scratch-off ticket last March 2017. The winner, who collected his prize last Wednesday at lottery headquarters, said he plans to continue playing the lottery in search of future jackpots. I would say that's a good course of action. Well, after hearing this next story, you may never take public transportation again. Transportation officials in Philadelphia said actions are being taken after a passenger on a city bus captured video of a bed bug infestation. Are you getting a visual of this, Chris?
All right.
Crystal Lopez said she was riding a Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority bus with her young daughters when she felt a burning sensation on her arm. Lopez captured video of the cause of her discomfort, bed bugs infesting the upholstered back of the seat. She posted video of the bugs to Facebook, where the footage went viral. She said her allergic reaction to the bites required a doctor's visit. Officials said the bus was taken out of service. That was a smart thing. After they were notified, buses in Philly are treated by exterminators monthly and are considering replacing upholstered seats with plastic, which is less appealing to bed bugs.
Oh, God.
This is weird.
Oh, my. I just don't want to ride public transportation in Philadelphia,
that's
I guess.
Just one of the challenges when you're on public transportation. If you've ever ridden the subway in New York City, you know what I mean.
Mm.
Well, every week on SOS News, we have another incredible Guinness World Record, and tonight is no exception.
Oh, come on now. It's got to be something worth having a record for.
This one you'll appreciate, Chris.
Okay, all right.
A Maryland woman's rescue dogs have both made their way into the Guinness Book of World Records for their jumping skills.
Yeah.
Samantha Valley's Greyhound Feather was honored by Guinness after her 75.5-inch high jump was determined to be the highest jump by
Golly.
A dog. That's high.
That's 6.5 feet.
Valley's other dog, a border collie named Geronimo, love that name, earned records for most skips by a dog in 1 minute, 91 to be exact, as well as most double Dutch skips by a dog in 1 minute, 128.
This is some kind of competitive.
Well, it is a competitive sport for
right.
dogs.
Right, okay.
Valley said both animals were rescue pets. We love our rescue pets.
Yeah.
Geronimo's name was actually Cricket when I got her, Valley said. On the way home, on the drive from the pound, she tried to jump out the window, and that's how she got her new name, Geronimo. She said Feather also showed early signs of jumping prowess. Valley said she hopes Feather and Geronimo can serve as examples of rescue dog success stories.
How about that? See, you can teach an old dog new tricks. And give it a new name.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back on the other side with some more odd stories. And don't forget, Mark Walters follows us up at 8 o'clock. Now, Abe Katzman won't be with us tomorrow, but we do have, of course, a big show lined up for you. Aubrey Kahn's not in tonight, but he promises to be in on the show tomorrow. So I hope you'll tune in for that. And don't forget, please check out our brand new website and register for the drawing. Somebody's going to be very, very happy when they win that drawing, and you'll know why when we tell you the prize package. All right, you're listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show, so please don't go. Radio show, so please don't go.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Forecasters are warning that the threat is rising of life-threatening storm surge and freshwater inland flooding from prolonged heavy rains as Hurricane Florence nears the southeast seaboard in coming days. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says Florence is expected to become a major hurricane Monday and remain extremely dangerous and powerful as it nears the U.S. coast on Thursday. U.S. gas prices remain steady over the past couple of weeks, and an analyst says the pump price may actually start to drop later this month. Fuel price analyst Trilby Lundberg says the average price of regular grade gas as of Friday, $2.91 per gallon. The leader of the party that was poised to place second in Sweden's general election says he has secured a mandate to form a new government and that the sitting prime minister should resign. Ulf Kristersson, the head of the moderates, told supporters on Sunday that a four-party opposition alliance in parliament clearly is the largest government should resign. This is SRN News.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to save guard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 screening solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
What you're about to see is a matter of human record. Explain it, we cannot. Disprove it, we cannot. We simply invite you to explore with us the amazing world of the unknown, to take that one step beyond.
That's right, we've stepped into the Twilight Zone, one step beyond. All right, I'm Christopher Hart, and we'll go back now to Kathy Santomassino and Sunday's Odd Stories.
Well, a visitor to a golf course on a Florida military base captured video of a monster alligator strolling across the fairway. You know, we have a lot of golfers in Florida, and I'm sure they've seen some really unusual creatures, but gators are taking over a lot of these golf courses lately.
That's because they breed prodigiously.
There you go. Well, the footage shows the estimated 12-foot gator, known to locals as Elvis, walking across a paved path in a fairway at Bay Palms Golf Course on MacDill Air Force Base, right outside here in Tampa.
Right.
That is like a friggin' dinosaur, man, the man says in the video. U.S. Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jake Sherrick, who filmed the footage, said it was just shocking to see something that big and that old. Not sure how old he is. But Elvis obviously gets a lot of attention when he strolls on the golf course.
His tail is about 6 feet 12 long.
12 feet long. Well, can you imagine?
The entire gator, 12, puts his tail about 6 feet long.
Oh, wow.
And that's a lot of meat there.
That's a lot of gator. And then we have this. A pair of Florida alligator hunters said it took them more than 4 hours to chase down a massive 12-foot gator that weighed in at 750 pounds. Brandon Barfield and Brandon Cutchins said they were hunting gators in Bay County, which is in Panama City, when they spotted the big reptile and the chase began. When it came upside the boat, we realized we needed a bigger boat, Cutchins explained. That quote from our favorite movie, Jaws, remember that?
Going to get a bigger boat, right?
Yeah. Well, the men said they chased the alligator for over 4 hours, and it was another 30 minutes of wrangling before they were able to reel the gator in close enough to go for the kill. The men said it was their first alligator kill. Their first. Can you believe the big fish story that they're going to tell their grandkids?
Right.
Well, we're going to eat the meat and probably get some things made out of the hide and mount the head, Cutchins said. And I wonder if this gator is related to Elvis, the other gator on the golf course. They're both 12 feet long.
These guys are lucky they didn't get killed.
They're brave, for sure.
They should watch that show, was it Swamp People?
Well, a Houston driver evaded injury when an airborne metal pipe crashed through her windshield and nearly impaled her passenger seat. Ashley Loudermilk said she was driving Wednesday on the North Freeway when the car in front of her struck a metal pipe in the road, sending the object flying through the air. Mm. The pipe crashed through Loudermilk's windshield and became lodged between the dashboard and a spot next to the passenger side door. Loudermilk said she feels lucky to be alive and fortunate that her husband was not riding in the passenger seat at the time of the crash. And remember my story a couple months ago, Chris, about a California driver and passenger who were able to walk away from a similar incident when a power drill was dropped from another vehicle and got embedded in their windshield.
Yeah.
So driver, beware when you're on these expressways.
Especially I-4 with all the stuff got going on over there, because they got loose concrete around.
Bad drivers.
Oh, yeah. Well, not just that. I mean, but all the construction they got going on over there.
For sure.
So be careful.
It is. But a Kentucky library said a man returned a library book with a note apologizing for it being 50 years overdue.
I think I got one
of
those.
Does this sound like you, Chris?
It does.
The Lexington Public Library tweeted a photo of the book. If you're wondering what it was Don Lawson's The United States in World War One: The Story of General John Jay.
Oh, boy, that was a blockbuster.
Excuse me.
But the library never noticed it was gone.
John Jay Pershing.
Okay, yeah.
And the American Expeditionary Forces.
Blackjack.
Long title.
Blackjack Pershing, yeah.
Long title. And the apology note from the remorseful patron. The note signed Dale H. said the book was checked out in 1968. The library said the 15-cent per day late fees are capped at $6.75. Luckily for the guy. But without the cap, the fee would have been more than $2,700.
Ooh-wee.
And remember, it's never too late to return an overdue book, the tweet said.
Do libraries even have books anymore?
Oh, yes, they do.
It's been so long since I've been in one.
Yes, they do. Well, are you looking for the dream job of a lifetime? Then listen up.
Got it.
You do. But the second best dream job of a lifetime has to be this one. A firm in Mexico posted a job opening for a pro-vacationist.
A what?
A pro-vacationist to spend a year staying at luxury resorts and sharing the experience on social media. Grupo Vidanta, which operates several resorts in Mexico, said on its website that it is seeking a social media savvy ambassador. That wouldn't be you, Chris.
No.
To spend a year staying for free at resorts in Nuevo Vallarta, Riviera Maya, Los Cabos, Acapulco, Puerto Penasco, and Puerto Vallarta. The job pays $120,000 for 1 year, as well as travel expenses and meal credits at resort restaurants. The firm said the pro-vacationist will be subject to experiences including learning to salsa dance, ushering baby turtles into the ocean, swimming with whale sharks, determining how many hours of poolside lounging is too many, and having a pair of sunglasses for every occasion.
But now, what's the point?
Well,
is this like a secret shopper type thing?
This is going to be a year as a tourist in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
I guess they're trying to somehow resurrect their reputation with the Mexican cartel and all the...
Right, and they're going to use the social media to get the word out.
And all the Americans that have been killed over there.
Here I am at
this resort.
Right. Look how great it is.
Well,
okay.
Interested applicants are instructed to fill out a form on Grupo Vidanta's website by October 21st, so you have plenty of time, with the winning applicant to be selected November the 1st.
Applicants, did you hear that, Eva?
Yeah.
Sign up.
Applicants are strongly encouraged to submit a video along with their resume to tell us why they're the perfect fit for this opportunity while showcasing their personality, the website states.
All right. That sounds like something for McBath.
No. Randy Ross probably would love that.
There you go.
Well, a California couple said a possible mountain lion busted through a plate glass window and entered their home. William Nichols said he and his wife were in their bedroom at their Brentwood home. I think that's where O.J. Simpson lived before he killed his wife.
Brentwood Estates.
When they heard a living room window shatter, Nichols said he came out of the bedroom to investigate and came face to face with a big cat in the hallway. The man said the cat made a noise that caused him to flee back into the bedroom, smart move, where he and his wife called 911. Police and a California Department Fish and Wildlife officer responded to the neighborhood, but they were unable to locate the animal and identified as a mountain lion. And I would certainly have nightmares after an experience like this, Chris. You know I'm a light sleeper, but to hear a window shatter in the middle of the night,
That'll startle you.
It would. Well, agricultural officials in Hawaii said workers unloading a shipment of ceramic tiles on Maui made a smelly discovery last week. A stowaway skunk. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture said inspectors from its Maui plant quarantine branch were contacted last week by workers at a Kehului company after they detected a foul odor in the shipping container and caught a glimpse of the live skunk. The inspectors set a pair of traps and were able to capture the 5-pound skunk, which was sent for rabies testing in Oahu. Back in February, a live skunk was captured in Honolulu's Harbors Pier 1. that apparently stowed away in a shipment. The incident marked the first time a live skunk had been captured in Hawaii. And skunks aren't indigenous to Hawaii or the main island there. So
no, of course not.
You know, they had to come from California, perhaps.
Well, maybe from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, or one of those liberal states, sanctuary states, probably, right?
Right, right.
Well, animal rescuers in California said an exotic spiny-tailed iguana traveled to the state from Mexico by stowing away in a traveler's bikini top. The peninsula.
Obviously, the traveler wasn't in the top at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to say smart iguana. The Peninsula Humane Society and SPCA said the woman had returned to her foster city home from a trip to Cancun, Mexico, when she found the small lizard while unpacking her luggage. She had put her bathing
suit. Small lizard, that tells us something, doesn't it?
She had put her bathing suit out to dry on the balcony of her hotel room, and the next morning packed up her belongings in her suitcase, according to a spokeswoman. Mm. Unbeknownst to her, a baby iguana had decided to nest in her bathing suit top and accidentally hitchhiked to California. Hmm. The iguana was only a baby, but adults of the species have been known to grow up to 5 feet long. Hmm. And the iguana was quarantined and transported to a local animal sanctuary, which specializes in exotic reptiles.
I'm not going to touch that. All right, we'll take a break and come back on the other side. We got a couple more stories for you. And tonight we're also going to leave you with a Lloyd Marcus tune. I just love Lloyd's CD, God, Country, and Love, which you can still get at his website, lloydmarcus.com. And we'll introduce that song when we get back. So you're listening to the American Adversaries. Thank you so very much for doing so. We really do appreciate it as we kick off year number 9 on Sunday nights tonight, you know? So
long marriage.
8 years in, many years to go, we hope. And we hope you'll be there for every one of them, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the American Adversaries radio show, so please don't go away because we're coming right back with more.
Suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more, visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL
and on 1520 The Biz.
If you can take it.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's one of the promos from the very earliest days as well. All right, we're still... got a few more odd stories for you, and then we're going to leave you tonight with Lloyd Marcus's tune, Celebrate America. You know, Tuesday is, once again, we mentioned earlier, the anniversary, 17-year anniversary of 9/11. And this is not a time to bemoan, but to be proud of America and Americans and what we do and what we have been doing and what we will continue to do. Make America great again. All right.
Well, Pasquale, I'm sending my love and thinking about you on this next story. A Japan resident captured video of a pizza delivery worker on a scooter braving the winds of Typhoon Jebi to make a delivery. The video shows the Domino's delivery driver struggling to keep their scooter upright on an Osaka street amid strong winds and heavy rains from the typhoon, which is said to be the strongest to hit the country in 25 years. The driver briefly loses his battle with the winds and the scooter topples. The footage ends with the dedicated worker pulling the scooter upright. No word as to how the pizza got to its destination.
Or what condition it was in.
Or what condition it was in, but I think this is a great video for a Domino's TV commercial, and I bet we'll see it in the future.
All right, cool. That's dedication.
Dedication.
Or that he just needed the tip real bad.
Yeah. Well, if you've ever had lost mail or magazine subscriptions that never arrived, you'll appreciate this next story. The U.S. Postal Service said a load of mail that spilled from a truck in Nashville was undeliverable and was on its way to be recycled. Huh? Well, witnesses reported the large amount of mail littering Lebanon Pike last Tuesday morning, but the U.S. Postal Service said it determined the mail had fallen from a recycling truck, not a mail truck. Okay. Well, footage from the road shows what appears to be thousands of letters and magazines in the roadway. Some witnesses said they were concerned about the privacy of the people whose mail was determined to be undeliverable and personal info that could be compromised, like identity theft. Well, we all love wonderful reunions, right, Chris? Well, a man who set out to find his birth parents ended up playing matchmaker. Martin Schmidt knew he was adopted, but it wasn't until he found out he was going to be a father that he decided to seek out his birth parents. The next 4 years unfolded like a movie. Martin, 36, was a newborn when he was adopted. His birth mother, Michelle Newman, was just 16 years old when she found out she was pregnant, several months after she and her high school boyfriend, Dave Lindgren, broke up. Michelle then moved to Hawaii. Dave stayed in Wisconsin and had several children and stepchildren. In 2014, when Martin had a baby of his own on the way, he got in contact with his birth mom. She, in turn, reached out to Dave, his dad. Their connection was renewed and the chemistry was instant. When I got off the plane in Hawaii and walked down the airport stairs, I could just see that. I felt it, Dave said. That trip led to dating, and eventually Michelle moved back to Wisconsin. The couple's relationship with each other and Martin blossomed. Dave and Michelle tied the knot in August, and Martin officiated. You two have found each other and fallen in love after finding me, Martin said, as the wedding guests laughed. I couldn't say I could ask for anything better to find, Dave said, of the miraculous reunion. And that's SOS News for Sunday, September 10th.
I got a reunion story for you.
And I love those stories.
How about that reunion story from the cat from hell last night?
Oh, that was incredible.
Where the little twin kitty cats. Oh, man.
And the couple that the guy's wife died, and he bought a cat for his daughter. And
it had been a twin cat.
It was a twin cat.
The other cat had been adopted a few days earlier. The lady who adopted the cat first for her little girl, the little kitty was crying and crying, so they went back to see if the twin was still there and somebody had already adopted
it. But you forgot the best part.
No, I didn't. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So the man's wife had died, and then he started going on to social media looking for someone to date. Lo and behold, he finds a woman on there. They like each other. He goes over to her house to go out on a date, and here comes out prancing the other little cat. And they check their records, and sure enough, each one had adopted one of the little kitties.
from the same litter.
Yeah,
and they were forever reunited.
Well,
and
the kitties were reunited.
Well, they got married.
They got married, but they weren't reunited because they had just met one another.
No, the kitties were reunited.
And they reunited the cats. Exactly.
It was a great story.
But I got an even better one than that.
Oh, wow.
This is about a kid named Christopher Lissy, who is now 52 years old. And what was he reunited with? His baseball glove.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he had lost it in 1978 when the team had won a Little League championship. And he's just a little kid that liked to hit the ball and run around bases. He said in 1978 he was on a Little League team in Willoughby. That year, during the season's final game, he hit two home runs and his team won. And during the celebration, the glove got lost. Well, the parents, who are now in their 80s, the father, Michael Lissy, they would go every day to a thrift shop just to have something to do.
As a hobby,
and look around. And only so often they would buy something. And lo and behold, they're in the thrift shop. Now, this is 1,000 miles away down in South Florida,
right,
in Jupiter.
Right.
And they're looking around, and they see this glove. And how do they know that it's the kid's glove? He had written his name on it in magic marker.
Oh, my goodness.
And there it was, Christopher Lissy.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know I still have my baseball and football and everything from when I was a kid.
Can you imagine that?
I wish I still had my baseball bat. Somewhere I lost that. It was a Hank Aaron Louisville Slugger. Anyway, if you got it out there, let me know. But, so they bought the glove for $1.49 and reunited it.
The best investment they ever made. And, of course, sad news. Everyone knows Burt Reynolds passed away over the weekend.
Thursday.
I have fond memories of Smokey the Bandit because back in the day, one of my serious boyfriends had the old Pontiac Firebird with the emblazoned gold eagle on the hood.
On the hood, yep.
And he was quite an actor. He didn't feel that he had gotten his due in the acting community, but I will say to Bert up in the heavens, I appreciated not just your acting, but your swagger. And you had that glint in your eye, and you will be missed.
And she still has her copy of Playgirl.
I have it, but I don't know where I put it.
All right. Once again, Tuesday is the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on the United States of America. And I can't think of no better way to commemorate that than by celebrating America because of what America is. And one of the reasons why Bin Laden attacked America is because we're the greatest nation in the world and in the history of the world, I dare say. That's why we're going to leave you tonight with the tune Celebrate America by Lloyd Marcus. And once again, you can get this CD, God, Country, and Love, which this tune is on, a lot of the great tunes, at his website, LloydMarcus.com. So I hope you enjoy this tune. And once again, we'll be here tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And once again, thanks for tuning in. And please go to our brand new website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and register for the prize drawing and tell us what you think. I hope you like it. I know you will. All right, so once again, we're going to leave you with Celebrate America by Lloyd Marcus. So, night, everybody.
Good night.
When times are hard, we've got to stick together. Hold on to the things that are real. 'Cause we've survived through every kind of weather. And the love in our hearts, no one can steal. We live in a land blessed with freedom, for which many brave have fought and died. So let's celebrate the values that money can't buy. Let's celebrate America. Let's celebrate our families. Let's celebrate our home. Let's celebrate the things that make us whole.
Americans, never yield. We always strive to make things a little better. It's part of the heritage we feel. And though we come from many different nations,
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Media Group.